Today, I want to take you on a journey. It's a journey that some of you have already traveled, and it's a journey that some of you are yet to make. This is a journey of challenges and change. In Bible times, there were a number of people that Jesus had to meet so that they could see their lives as he saw it. Then, in response to Jesus' presence, they could ask for help. There are a number of people in the Bible who experience spiritual healing, and here are a few. We're going to start with the Samaritan woman. She experienced spiritual and emotional healing. And then King David, after his affair with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah, he received healing from the guilt and shame of sin and renewal in his relationship with God. And then there's Peter, after his betrayal of Jesus. He received the healing from guilt and remorse. And then Naomi, after losing her husband and sons, she needed healing from bitterness and anger towards God. And then there's Paul, who was struck down on the road to Damascus and was in need of spiritual healing and a personal relationship with Jesus. Paul is the one I want to focus on today. I've asked Jean if she could read Acts 9, 1 through 6, because this is where our story begins.
Saul's conversion. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do."
What an amazing story. Here is a man who was consumed with a passion for his work for the Lord, or so he thought. He believed with all of his heart that he was God's arm of justice to destroy the new believers. Why? Because they were against all the traditions and laws that he held dear. Paul was a Jew of all Jews. Remember what he said about himself in Philippians 3, 4 through 6? "Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless." So what happened next? What is the rest of the story? What really happened to Saul? He was religious, that's true. He was zealous, that's true. He was committed to the task, and he believed in what he was doing. Paul gave up everything to pursue his goal. He was obsessed with putting an end to Christianity and to all Christians. When Jesus stopped him on the road to Damascus, Paul was affected both physically and spiritually. He lost his sight, but he was spiritually blind before he was physically blind. God had to find some way to stop him, to set him straight and show him the right path. Paul needed healing, spiritual healing, so he could see, truly see. So what happened? The third verse of Acts 9 says that God entered Paul's life in an unforgettable way. Verse 8 says Paul experienced a time of disability. Verse 9 tells us he began to see himself as he was, as God saw him. And verses 17 and 18 say, then God healed him. Why would God go to so much trouble to save just one man? After all, who was Saul? He was a vicious man, the Hitler of his day. He was a man filled with hate. Yet when God looked at Saul, he saw his child. A child who had gone astray and needed to find his way back to God. So God stopped him and then sent someone to help him. In Acts 9:15 it says, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. God did not just see a man bent on destruction. God did not see a worthless creature. He looked at Paul and saw a chosen vessel. Isn't that amazing? God saw potential, and God saw possibility. This is a lesson for us today. What do we see when we look at others? It never ceases to amaze me how quick we are to judge others based on what we see. How quickly we forget the life-changing power of God. We sometimes forget that we, too, are humans and have things in our life that we regret. But God never forgets who we are, his child. In Acts 9:15, God called Paul a chosen vessel. Does that sound familiar to you? Turn with me to 1 Peter 2:9, and let's read this together. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Here is our purpose in life. God calls each of us chosen. We are precious in his sight. But are we precious in our own eyes? God uses many ways to bring us from spiritual sickness to spiritual health. One of these ways we find in the life of Paul. God afflicted Paul for 3 days with blindness. Why? Because God wanted Paul's attention, his undivided attention, and he got it. So what about you and me? What has God allowed in our lives, or what will he allow in our lives to get our attention? You know, I've discovered that some of us have harder heads than others. So what is God using, or what has he used to save your life? God will do no less for us than he did for Paul. He wants to save our lives more than anything else in this world. But he has to get our attention. Sometimes we too have to experience a time of disability. This disability can be physical, emotional, or spiritual. It could be joblessness, loneliness, a health problem, a besetting sin that seems to control our lives. It can be people who fail us and cause us emotional distress. Whatever it takes, that's what our God will do. Your salvation and my salvation is the most important thing to him. As with Paul, sometimes God will step into our life. And as with Paul, sometimes God will help us to see ourselves as he sees us. And sometimes he will heal us spiritually and physically if he thinks that that's best. What can we do? How do we deal with a time of disability? A typical reaction is to hide from God, sometimes to run as far as we can from the problem, even if it means relocating to another place. Some of us will retreat into ourselves. We'll put a smile on our face and pretend that we're fine. But we build walls around our lives and we shut people out and we just keep pretending that we're fine. But the truth is that we're dying inside. If we are to be victorious, we must learn three important things. First, don't run. Second, don't hide. And third, don't keep it inside. You see, when we run from God and others, we're running from the people that can help us, and we're only hurting ourselves. When we suffer in silence and keep all the pain and anguish inside, we become vulnerable to Satan's attack. He has isolated us from all who can help us, and then he moves in to steal our salvation. But God lovingly smiles at us. He smiles because he knows that it's only when our lives are shattered that we look to him, and then he can put the pieces back together. God does not leave us at the bottom of the heap. He does not allow our lives to be shattered without stepping in to put the pieces back together. The psalmist says it well. But I trust in God. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. For you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversity. You have not shut me up in the hand of my enemy, but have set my feet in a wide place. Psalms 31, 6 through 8. So what do? Psalms 91 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadows of the Almighty. God wants to stay in a relationship with us. He knows that our only hope of salvation is for us to connect to him and stay connected. We don't keep ourselves in God. He does that. 1 Peter 1:5 reminds us that we are kept by the power of God. God reaches down and pulls us up out of the mud and mire, and he sets our feet on solid ground. He heals us. The end result is that we can see. Paul waited 3 days. For some, it may take months or years. But God will still stay with us as we work through our time of trouble and blindness. And in the end, as we surrender to him, he will heal us. He will set our feet on solid ground and cover us under the shadow of his wing. So what are you waiting for? For a personal encounter with God? We have learned through life's many challenges that going alone is too hard. The hymn reminds us, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. God gives us the assurance that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He reassures us that we are not facing life alone. He assures us that with him, we can do all things. He assures us that he will do whatever it takes to save us because we are precious to him. He gives us the promise of heaven to come. And he reassures us that if we allow him, he will save us. John 13, 1 to 3 says, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Today, our appeal is simple. Do you want to see Jesus? Do you want to see your life as he sees it? If so, then join me as we present our lives to him. That's all we have to give. And that's all he will receive from us. Do you love Jesus? He loves you. He loves you so much that he died for you. There is no greater sacrifice. So come to Jesus today, because when you see Jesus, then, and only then, will you see.
Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for what you have done for us, and what day by day you are working in our lives, and how you've been a father to us from the moment we were conceived, how you've guided us and blessed us. And here we are today. May we receive your wonderful blessing for today. Thank you for this message, Lord. Help it to rest in our hearts and minds. Bless us as we go forth, for to enjoy the blessings of the Sabbath day and the week ahead. And we ask that we may continue to be shielded by your power. Thank you and praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.